Welcome back to the Kingdom Corner podcast.
It's good to be here.
You know how this works.
Yeah.
You send in the sources and we take a deep dive into the material to bring you the most impactful takeaways.
We do the heavy lifting for you.
That's right. And today we're diving into a topic that I think a lot of our listeners can relate to: mental and emotional strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
You guys send in some excerpts from Eddie Turner's book, Conquering the Chaos in Your Mind. And we're really excited to unpack this with you.
It's such a good book.
It's so good.
Full of just practical wisdom and insight rooted in scripture.
Yeah. And, you know, it's written from a Christian perspective, but I think the principles that he outlines can really apply to anyone.
Absolutely.
Who wants to understand how their thought life works and how to break free from negative patterns.
Yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, we all struggle with those negative thoughts and anxieties.
Oh, yeah, we do. And Turner really gets to the heart of where those struggles come from. He shares this really personal story about a time when he was just out of the blue hit with these intrusive thoughts that he just couldn't shake.
He describes it as he's driving down the road one day feeling perfectly fine, and this thought pierces his mind. You must be demon possessed.
Wow.
And it wasn't just like a fleeting thought. It was like a dagger to his heart. He's like reeling, wondering, where did this even come from?
Yeah, can you imagine just going about your day and bam, this intense accusation just hits you.
And it really shook him up. And
yeah,
he tried to dismiss it, but the thought kept coming back stronger each time. And that's actually how he introduces this concept of mental strongholds.
Right. It's not just a one-off thought.
It's this pattern.
It's this persistent thing.
Yes.
That takes root and then starts to influence how you feel and how you act.
And it's so powerful because he's not saying that this just happens to people who aren't strong in their faith. He's a pastor.
Yes.
It really highlights how these strongholds can affect anyone, regardless of your background or your beliefs.
It's a reminder that we're all susceptible to these negative thought patterns.
Yeah.
And that just recognizing them is really the first step to overcoming them.
Absolutely.
He uses this really powerful analogy of a fortress to describe how these strongholds can feel so impenetrable,
right?
So impossible to escape.
Like you can't get out.
They slowly build up over time, brick by brick.
Yeah.
With each negative thought, each fear, each doubt, adding another layer to the structure.
I think that analogy really resonates with people who've felt trapped by their own negative thought patterns. Have you ever felt that way?
Absolutely. Like there's this invisible wall holding you back.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think what's so insidious about strongholds is that they don't just pop up overnight.
Right.
It's this gradual thing.
Yes.
Starting with seemingly insignificant thoughts that we just kind of entertain.
And over time, those thoughts become so deeply ingrained in our minds that we start to believe that they're true, okay, even if they're not.
And that's where the danger lies.
Okay.
Because once we start believing those lies, they begin to control our lives.
They affect everything.
Yeah, our relationships, our decisions, our self-worth, our entire outlook on life.
It's so important to be aware of the thoughts we're allowing to take root in our minds. And this is where Eddie Turner's insights are so helpful.
Yeah.
He provides this really practical framework.
Yes.
The three E's to help us evaluate our thoughts, eject the negative ones, and entertain the positive ones.
I love that framework, the three E's. It's so simple, but so powerful. Can you break that down for us?
Absolutely. So the first E is evaluate, and that means taking an honest look at our thought patterns and identifying those thoughts that are unhealthy, destructive, or just plain not true.
So it's about becoming aware of those negative thought loops, those critical voices that we often let run unchecked in our minds. Kind of like hitting the pause button and really examining what's going on up there.
Exactly. And it's not always easy to do. Sometimes those thoughts are so familiar, so ingrained in our thinking that we don't even realize how negative they are. But it's crucial to bring them into the light, to examine them under the microscope of God's word and see if they align with his truth.
That brings us to the second E, eject.
Heck yes.
This is where we actively choose to get rid of those toxic thoughts, those lies that the enemy has been whispering to us.
And this can be a real battle because those thoughts can be so persistent, so ingrained in our thinking that it's like they have a life of their own.
They're on repeat playing the same negative message over and over again.
Yes.
But Turner emphasizes that we don't have to be passive victims.
That's right.
We have the power to choose what we're going to think about.
And we have the authority in Christ to reject those thoughts that are not from him.
You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Hmm.
So we have the weapons.
Amen.
And that brings us to the final E, entertain. This is where we actively choose to fill our minds with truth, with life-giving thoughts, but align with God's promises.
So we're not just passively blocking out negativity. We're intentionally filling our minds with something better, something that will build us up and draw us closer to God.
We're creating a mental environment where faith can flourish, where hope can take root, and where God's peace can reign supreme. And it's interesting because Turner talks about how he used to rely on emotional feelings to gauge his spiritual well-being. If he felt good, he assumed everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if he felt down or anxious, he thought something was wrong.
That's such a common trap.
It is.
We rely on our feelings to guide us, when in reality, our feelings can be so fickle, so easily swayed by circumstances. I think that's why it's so crucial to ground our thinking in God's word, which is unchanging and always true. We have to let truth lead, not emotions.
And sometimes that means actively rejecting thoughts that come into our minds, even if they seem logical or even if they're based on past experiences.
We have to choose to believe God's truth over the enemy's lies.
Because remember, the enemy is a deceiver.
He is.
John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The enemy wants to keep us trapped in this cycle of negativity and defeat.
Mm.
But God wants us to walk in freedom and victory.
And I think that's what makes Eddie Turner's book so valuable.
It is.
He provides a roadmap for escaping that cycle and for stepping into the fullness of God's plan for our lives.
He gives us those practical steps, those biblical insights, and those personal anecdotes that really make this process relatable. It's not just theory. It's lived out experience.
I think that's what makes it so impactful.
Yeah.
Because it shows us that freedom is possible. Victory is possible.
Yes.
And it all starts with renewing our minds with the truth of God's word.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Turner doesn't stop there.
No.
He also talks about the importance of taking authority in the name of Jesus. And this is where things get really exciting.
This is where the rubber meets the road.
It's not just about passive acceptance.
No.
It's about actively engaging in spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And using the authority that we have in Christ to break the power of the enemy.
And he shares this incredible anecdote about a friend who was being abused by her husband.
Oh, wow.
And she had tried everything to stop the abuse reasoning, pleading, even threatening to leave. Nothing worked.
Oh, my goodness.
But then she cried out to God and invoked the name of Jesus. And in that moment, something shifted. The abuse stopped.
Wow. That's powerful.
It's a testament to the authority we have in Christ.
It is.
And as Turner clarifies, it's not just about saying the words. It's about having a genuine relationship with Christ and walking in obedience to his word.
It's about recognizing that we are not powerless victims.
Yes.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you."
Wow.
We have the power to overcome.
We do.
And I think it's important to emphasize that this power isn't something we have to earn or strive for. It's freely given to us through Jesus Christ.
It's available to us when we choose to align our thinking with his word, when we choose to stand on his promises, and when we choose to walk in obedience to his commands.
He never leaves us or forsakes us.
Never.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's so good. And as encouraging as it is to know that we have this power, it's also important to recognize that we're not meant to fight these battles alone.
No, we're not.
Turner emphasizes the importance of accountability.
Yes.
Of having trusted friends or mentors.
Yeah.
Who can support us in our journey toward mental and emotional freedom.
He shares an example of seeking advice from a pastor friend when he was going through his own struggles. And it just highlights the value of having someone to talk to.
Right.
Someone who can offer a different perspective. Someone who can pray for us and with us.
It's so true. And that's why I think it's so important for each of us to consider, who are those people in our lives that we can be vulnerable with? Who can we trust to speak truth into our lives, to challenge us when we're going down the wrong path, and to celebrate with us when we experience victory?
Because let's face it, life can be tough.
Oh, it is.
We're all going to face challenges. We're all going to go through seasons of difficulty.
Right, we don't have to do it alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor."
We need each other.
We need each other. And I think that's a great place to pause for now. There's so much more to unpack from Eddie Turner's book.
Yes, there is.
And we'll continue this deep dive in our next segment.
One of the things that really struck me in Turner's book is how he emphasizes the gradual nature of strongholds.
Oh, yeah.
He uses this story of a woman who committed adultery despite loving Jesus and her family to illustrate this point.
Right.
It wasn't a sudden decision.
No.
It was a slow fade, a gradual erosion of boundaries.
It's like she didn't just wake up one morning and decide to betray her marriage vows.
Exactly.
It was this series of seemingly small compromises.
Yeah.
Small choices that eventually led to a major downfall.
And I think that's such an important point because it highlights how easily we can be deceived.
Yeah.
How subtly these strongholds can take root in our lives. It's not always this dramatic overnight takeover.
No.
Often it's a slow, insidious process.
Right.
That can be hard to even recognize while it's happening.
It reminds me of that saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay.
Oh, that's a good one.
We might think we're in control, but sin has a way of creeping in and taking over.
And it's not just about what we traditionally think of as sin, right? It can be anything that's not in alignment with God's will for our lives. It can be fear, doubt, insecurity, anger, unforgiveness. Anything that takes root in our hearts and minds and begins to control our thoughts and behaviors.
You're hitting on a really important point there. It's not always these big dramatic things.
Right.
Sometimes it's the subtle shifts in our thinking, the gradual drift away from God's truth that can lead us down a dangerous path.
And what's interesting is that Turner points out how strongholds often stem from deception.
Oh, yeah.
We start believing lies about ourselves, lies about God, lies about the world around us.
He talks about how Satan, the enemy of our souls, is a master of deception. He's constantly trying to feed us lies, to twist the truth, to get us to doubt God's goodness and love for us.
And the scary thing is he's really good at it. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our vulnerabilities, and he knows exactly what buttons to push to get us to question God and to doubt his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ."
It's like he disguises those lies as truth.
Right.
Making them seem so plausible, so reasonable, that we don't even realize we're being deceived.
Exactly. And that's why it's so crucial that we're aware of his tactics, that we're not easily swayed by his lies. We need to be discerning to test everything against the truth of God's word.
Which takes us back to what we were talking about earlier, the importance of renewing our minds with the truth of God's word. We can't fight lies with more lies. We need truth to combat deception.
Because the truth sets us free.
Yes, it does.
Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
So good.
When we know the truth, when we believe the truth, we're no longer bound by the enemy's lies. We have the power to break free.
You know what really resonated with me in Turner's book? Is his discussion on the importance of not falling into the trap of a victim mentality.
Yes, he cautions against accepting the idea that because something runs in our family or because we've been through certain traumas, we're destined to repeat those patterns or to live with those limitations.
It's a lie.
It is a lie from the enemy.
He even shares his own experience of being tempted to think that because mental torment ran in his family, it was okay for him to struggle with it too.
But he realized that that was a deception, a way for the enemy to keep him stuck and to prevent him from experiencing the fullness of God's freedom and healing.
I think it's so easy to fall into that trap of thinking, well, this is just how I am, or this is just how my family is. But God's word tells us that we are new creations in Christ.
Come on.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We don't have to be defined by our past or by our family history.
That's right. We can choose to believe God's truth over the enemy's lies.
And sometimes that means actively rejecting thoughts that come into our minds, even if they seem logical, or even if they're based on past experiences.
It's about taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ.
It's not always easy, though, is it?
Yes.
Because those thoughts can feel so real, so valid, especially when they're rooted in things we've actually lived through.
And that's why it's so important to remember that our feelings are not always a reliable indicator of truth.
Right.
Feelings can lie.
They do.
We have to filter them through the truth of God's word.
Our feelings can be so fickle, so easily influenced by our circumstances.
Yeah.
We can't let them dictate our reality.
We have to choose to believe God's truth, even when it doesn't feel true.
And that's a choice we have to make every single day.
Every day.
Because the enemy is relentless. He's constantly trying to plant seeds of doubt, fear, and unbelief in our minds.
But we have the power to resist him. We have the power to take those thoughts captive and to make them obedient to Christ. It all starts in the mind.
Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he."
What we think about, we become.
If we dwell on negativity, we're going to live a negative life.
Mm.
But if we focus on God's truth, we fill our minds with his word, we're going to experience transformation and breakthrough.
Absolutely. And as we're talking about this, I'm reminded of a story from the Old Testament about the 12 spies who were sent into the Promised Land to scout it out.
Yes.
10 of the spies came back with a report of fear and unbelief.
They focused on the giants in the land, on the fortified cities, and on the strength of the enemy.
Numbers chapter 13. They said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature."
They let their fear dictate their reality. They focused on the problem instead of the promise.
Exactly. They allowed their perception of the situation to override God's promises. But there were two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who came back with a different report. They saw the same giants, the same obstacles, but they chose to focus on God's power and faithfulness.
Yes, they did.
They said in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 and 9, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." What a contrast.
They chose to believe God's word over their circumstances.
And you know, I think that's such a powerful illustration for us today. We're all going to face giants in our lives. We're all going to encounter situations that seem impossible. But we have a choice. Are we going to let fear dictate our reality, or are we going to stand on God's promises and declare his victory no matter what our circumstances look like?
It's a choice we have to make every single day, because the enemy is relentless. He's constantly trying to plant seeds of doubt, fear, and unbelief in our minds.
But we have the power to resist him. We have the power to take those thoughts captive and to make them obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have spiritual weapons that are powerful enough to dismantle any stronghold and to break any chain that the enemy tries to put on us."
And one of the most powerful weapons we have is the name of Jesus.
Oh.
We already talked about the story of the woman who was being abused by her husband. When she invoked the name of Jesus, the situation changed instantly. That's because there is power in that name. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father."
When we speak the name of Jesus, we're releasing the power of God into the situation.
Yes.
And the enemy has to flee. He can't stand against the authority of that name. I think sometimes we forget how powerful we are in Christ. We get so focused on our own weakness and limitations that we forget that we have access to unlimited power through the Holy Spirit who lives within us.
That's right. And the key is to tap into that power, to remember who we are in Christ, to put on the full armor of God, and to stand firm against the enemy's attacks.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil."
We have everything we need to be victorious.
You know, Eddie Turner really emphasizes the importance of accountability in this whole process of overcoming strongholds.
Oh, yes, he does.
He encourages readers to find a trusted friend or mentor who can provide support and encouragement in their journey toward mental and emotional freedom.
He even suggests finding an accountability partner, someone who can help us stay on track, who can pray for us and with us, and who can hold us accountable when we're tempted to give in to those negative thoughts or behaviors.
Because let's face it, we all need support.
Mm.
We all need people in our lives who can encourage us, challenge us, and help us stay focused on God's truth.
It's not a sign of weakness to ask for help.
No.
In fact, it's a sign of strength.
It is.
It shows that we're serious about overcoming the chaos in our minds and about walking in the fullness of God's freedom.
I couldn't agree more. We weren't meant to do this alone.
We need each other.
We need each other. We need that support, that encouragement, that accountability. And you know what? I'd even go a step further and say that we have a responsibility to be that for others as well.
That's a great point. We're all in this together. And as followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to love one another, to support one another, and to help each other walk in victory.
And that includes being willing to have those tough conversations.
Yeah.
To speak truth into each other's lives, even when it's uncomfortable. Because sometimes that's what it takes to help someone break free from the lies of the enemy and to step into the fullness of God's truth.
This has been an incredibly insightful conversation, and I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of what Eddie Turner has to offer in his book. Let's continue this deep dive in our next segment, exploring the power of God's word to dismantle these mental strongholds. Welcome back to the Kingdom Corner podcast. We're going to jump right back into our deep dive into Eddie Turner's book, Conquering the Chaos in Your Mind. And I feel like one of the most powerful themes that emerges is just the incredible power of God's word to break down those mental strongholds we've been talking about.
And it's not enough to just kind of casually read the Bible, though.
Right.
Turner emphasizes that we need to really engage with it, meditate on it, and let those truths sink deep into our hearts and minds. And he shares his own experience of finding peace and freedom during a really tough time in his life by immersing himself in Scripture.
He literally shut himself away for months.
Yeah.
Just devouring the Bible and letting those truths just wash over him.
And it was during that time that he had this really profound revelation.
Yeah.
He realized that the Bible isn't just this collection of stories or moral teachings.
Right.
It's a weapon.
Yes.
A spiritual weapon that we can use to fight the enemy's lies and to break free from mental and emotional bondage.
That reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, which talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Just like a soldier uses a sword to fight off enemies, we can use God's word to fight off those negative thoughts, those anxieties, those fears that try to attack our minds.
It's such a powerful analogy, and it highlights the importance of really knowing God's word, of hiding it in our hearts so that we can use it when those attacks come.
Yeah.
Because they will come. The enemy is relentless, always looking for an opportunity to plant seeds of doubt, fear, and unbelief in our minds.
Always.
1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 warns us, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world."
We've got to be ready.
We got to be ready.
Yeah.
And one of the most effective ways to prepare is to spend time in God's word every day, meditating on his promises and letting his truth renew our minds.
Turner shares a great example of how he does this. He talks about how he used to struggle with the thought, "You must be demon possessed." But then he started intentionally meditating on scriptures that spoke about his identity in Christ.
Things like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So instead of giving power to that negative thought, he countered it with God's truth.
And it worked because God's word is powerful.
It is.
It's alive.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword.
It is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
And as we let God's word penetrate our hearts and minds, it starts to transform us from the inside out.
Absolutely.
It renews our thinking. It changes our perspective.
Yeah.
And it empowers us to live a life of victory.
It breaks the enemy's lies, and it sets us free to experience the fullness of God's love, joy, peace, and purpose.
Turner also talked about the importance of not just knowing God's word, but speaking it out loud.
Yeah.
He emphasizes the power of confession, of declaring God's truth over our lives and over our situations.
He shares a story about facing intense opposition and criticism.
Mm-hmm.
People were spreading lies about him, trying to discredit his ministry, and it was really getting to him.
He was tempted to give in to discouragement and let the negativity win. But then he remembered the power of God's word.
He started speaking out scriptures about God's protection, his faithfulness, and his victory.
And things started to shift. The opposition weakened, the lies were exposed, and God's truth prevailed.
That's the power of confession.
That's it.
When we speak God's word, we're releasing its power into our lives and into the world around us.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof."
Our words have incredible power.
They do.
They can build up or tear down.
Yes.
Encourage or discourage, heal or hurt.
As believers, we're called to speak life.
Yes.
Speak God's truth. Declare his promises and use our words to bring hope and healing to the world around us.
This has been such a powerful conversation. And as we wrap up our deep dive into conquering the chaos in your mind, I want to emphasize one crucial point. Overcoming mental and emotional strongholds isn't just about having the right information or techniques.
Right.
It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
It's about surrendering our lives to him and allowing him to transform us from the inside out.
Because in the end, it's his power that sets us free, his love that heals us, and his truth that renews our minds.
And as we draw closer to him, spend time in his presence, and let his word dwell richly in our hearts,
yeah,
we'll experience more and more of that freedom, healing, and transformation.
We'll find ourselves thinking differently, acting differently, and living differently,
yes,
becoming more like him in the process.
You don't have to live in bondage to negative thoughts, anxieties, or fears.
Yeah.
You have the power through Christ to take control of your thought life and to align your thinking with God's truth.
And as you do, you'll experience the freedom, the peace, and the joy that he has for you.
Thank you for joining us on the Kingdom Corner podcast. We pray that this deep dive has encouraged you and equipped you to walk in victory and freedom.